lordship concept. John 13:13. It says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Last week we covered the concept of kingship. And the object of this thing was to begin to renew our minds. Being a Christian, I find, is so less than what we are supposed to be. But we are kingdom citizens of the most glorious kingdom that has ever been known. And in this understanding, we're to align ourselves up with kingdom principles throughout our whole lives. And if we're here just to figure out that we're going to acquire a lot of information, then you need to repent and get right, because that's not what we're here for. We're here to learn about the Lord Jesus, His kingdom, and how we interact so that we can access all that He has for us. I mean, there's so much to teach about the kingdom, and we don't access all of it, let alone any of it. Because men have been successful in turning it into a religion instead of understanding it is a government. Isaiah told us that, you know, it would be Emmanuel, and the weight of the government would be upon his shoulders, not the weight of a religion. And so we have to come to understand that what we're learning about is a government, and how we are as citizens are to flow in that. And today, part of this is going to be lordship, or Lord. And it's interesting to note that it is one of the most utilized words in the Bible. And yet today, in modern vernacular, it's hardly ever used, except in the context of landlord, or owner of property, is really what it is. It is not in any of the governments of today's society. It's not known as in democracy, or socialism, communism. The only way that the Lord or lordship is found is in a kingdom, and where there are kingdoms today, there is still Lord, or the word Lord is being used in it. What is the difference between kingship and lordship? Does anybody have an idea? Dan. Okay, you're right. Kingship deals with the power and authority over a domain. Lordship deals specifically with ownership of that domain. And remember, we said the king owns everything? And so he owns everything. The king is also Lord. But not every lord is a king. Why can I say that? Well, we have presidents, governors, mayors, prime ministers. Do they own everything of their kingdoms? Of course not. And that's why I'm saying that to be a lord, you must be a king. They're almost synonymous, but it's understanding the basic principles. And because the king owns everything, he owns the land, he owns the resources of the land, he owns the people that are on the land. He is the owner of everything. And that's where we get this concept that Jesus is Lord of all. Or he's not Lord at all. And that brings us to a really good question. Is Jesus Lord of your life? And I don't mean that in a cavalier sense. I mean in a sense that, do you understand that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, did you also receive Him as Lord? And I think most Christians today, if they want to really be honest, have received Him as Savior, but have not received Him as Lord. And this is going to cause our thinking to get haywired a little bit, because let's face it, we still think that we're in control. We still think that we are the ones that have dominion over our lives. We still think that we can do the things that we want to do. And you can. But that still does not negate the fact that He's Lord over your life. And that one day, you are going to give an account for how you live, how you conduct yourself, how you utilize the things that God has given to you. And I'll tell you what. It takes a different perspective when you realize that it's His, not mine. And what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with the things that He has given to me in order for me to be successful? Now, if He owns everything, and we'll keep it simple, if the king owns all the land, then what about businesses? You know, because the people will build businesses. People will build farms and mine things. And they'll actually have logging and stuff. You know, all utilized for attaining wealth. But my Bible tells me in Deuteronomy 8:18 that He says He's given me the power to create wealth for the establishing of my kingdom. His kingdom. It's absolutely correct. See, the king owns everything. And everything that goes on is only by permission. He allows those things to go on. But somewhere along the line, we get in our minds that it's ours. And what does this create? It creates within us a dissatisfaction. It creates a competition. It creates or releases fear in my life because I'm afraid that someone's going to take my stuff that I've worked so hard for. But the reality of it is, it's His stuff and He's going to take care of it and punish those who abuse the stuff that we have. So the first thing we need to do is cultivate a mindset that is no longer me as owner, but Thee as owner. Amen? That's really important that we understand that, because if He is owner of all, then everything that He allows for us to do requires us to be stewards or caretakers of everything that goes on. And hopefully you'll be able to grasp this, because in the parables of the talents, the parables of the faithful stewards and stuff, this all takes on a different dynamic, because in the Western culture, we do not understand about lordship. And so we're thinking about ourselves. And so when Jesus talks about things like this, we get discombobulated, because we don't understand that He owns it. And like I said last week, we've born a country out of rebellion. And we're perpetrating this rebellion throughout the world. When the reality of it is that the kingdom of heaven is the answer to every problem that is known to man. Amen? We have to begin to start seeing this. He owns it. It's ours to use and build upon, but ultimately He's going to have it. When He asks you, what did you do with the talents I gave you? What did you do with this? What did you do with that? You're going to have to talk to Him and tell Him what you did. You know, to sit around and be like the world, you're at odds with God. And God wants you to change the world. And the only one that's going to change the world is you. I'm talking about your little world. And as you become faithful in that change, you're able to then have more authority. God gives you more, because faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And hopefully you can understand some of the dynamics that's going on in your lives. They're happening because you do not line up with the principles of the kingdom. You don't line up with the concepts of what it is to be a Christian, or a Catholic, or a Methodist, or a Lutheran, or a Baptist. You can categorize yourself whatever way you want, but the bottom line is, if you name the name of Christ, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, another thing about lordship, or being a lord, is that He can do whatever He wants with His property. if I'm pretending I'm a Lord. Small L, not big L. And I have this stuff, and I come over to Lou, and I say, Lou, I want to give you the such and such possession. Can I do that? Yeah, I can do that, because I'm Lord. And that is called a royal favor. The king or the Lord can do whatever he wants. He can give his property to somebody. They're stewards over it. They don't own it. But now they have the privilege of something specifically that the king has given to them. Right? Your salvation is a royal... Hear me. It is a royal privilege to have. As Gary said earlier, you know, we didn't choose him. He chose us. He gave us salvation. All we had to do was receive it. We can't earn it. We can't do anything else but walk in it by faith. Right? But how many of our family and friends are striving to live a life by earning God's gift that he's freely given to them? It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus. Everything is Jesus, including his lordship. If I give something to Lou, I also have the right to take it from Holly. Because if I want to give it to somebody else, what Holly has, I can give it to Karen, right? Right? Can a president do that? You're right. A president, a prime minister, those people who are also governmental authorities do not have the right. We call that corruption. Because they don't own it. They're giving away something that does not belong to them to someone else. And that person who receives that is abetting in a crime. Both are punishable. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible for us to understand this concept, because what we have ingrained in our mind is that we own. That's my TV, my car, my family, my clothes, my this, my that. And to a certain degree, that is true. But who provided it for you? The Lord provided it. The Lord provided a job for you so you could purchase those things that you would have need of. How we discharge those things to show ourselves faithful will also progress in other areas of our lives. When we discharge things and we're out of the king's will, we are susceptible to punishment. And hopefully we can understand that when we're out of the will of God, God takes those things, or he will allow Satan to come and steal those things out of our lives because we're not lining up. And we must line up with the king in order to receive the benefits of the king. And we all want benefits, right? I mean, when we go to work, we want the benefits, right? The pay may not be good, but those bennies is what we're looking for. God wants to bless his people. Now, because the king's dominion is tied to, and I'm not talking about king's dominion down in Virginia, I'm talking about the king's dominion, is tied to his territory, his wealth is also tied to it. Okay? The larger the territory, the more abundant is his wealth, and the more glory and honor that that king has. Okay? When Columbus discovered a short route to the West Indies and came back to Isabel and Ferdinand, there was a great influx of the kingdoms of Europe to now go to the New World. And what happened? Spain jumped in on it. Britain jumped in on it. The Dutch jumped in on it. The Portuguese jumped in on it. All laying claim to new lands, disregarding the peoples who were already there. Right? In the name of the king. And they took the territory. And the king sent his armies in there, and he defeated the peoples over there. And they now were incorporated into his kingdom. He now owned them. Essentially, Jesus did the same thing. He came back to reestablish his kingdom upon this earth. Something that he already had. Something that Satan tried to make him. They tried to make him king, but he already is. How can you make somebody a king who already is? You know? And we're trying to over-spiritualize a simple fact that Jesus was reestablishing a beachhead for a government against a government that was in rebellion to his kingdom and his lordship. Can we begin to see this now? We call that sin, but it's in rebellion to the authority of the king, punishable by death. Now, what does this have to do with our King and Lord? Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it, the seas, and established it upon the waters." Psalm 22, 28, "For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations." Psalm 47, 7 through 9 says, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted." Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord." And finally, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." God is owns so much of everything, he even owns you because he paid for you. Whether you received him as Lord and Savior or not, he owns you. Everything about you, he knows implicitly. And what he wants is you to know him extravagantly. Extravagantly. He's not only our God, he's our Father. And everything that he has is for us. He is the wealthiest of all kings. That's why he's called King of Kings. He owns more than any other lord. That's why he's Lord of Lords. Because you see, his kingdom is not just contained here on earth or the universe. His kingdom also encapsulates heaven. And we don't know how vast heaven is. All I can say is that this universe, as I've read the scripture, says that it are contained in the palm of his hand. How big is his hand? How big, how rich is this kingdom that we are citizens to? And how glorious is our king? How gracious is he? These are some of the things we need to understand. Now, to live under a lordship, there are some basic benefits of it that sets us free. And part of it is the trappings of ownership. If we cultivate a mindset of lordship, we rescind owning anything. We become stewards of everything. Now, that doesn't mean that we go out and we sell our houses and get the money and give it to the church. We don't sell our businesses. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, we must have the proper propriety towards those things. My business is to be birthed so that God's kingdom can be seen through my business practices because it's his. The way I do business is to bring honor and glory to my king. All that he gives to me, I give to him, the praise and glory and honor. And the finances that I have is for the extending of his kingdom. Remember Deuteronomy 8:18? He's given us the wisdom to create wealth for the establishing of his kingdom. But how many of us have started businesses, and not just you guys, but I'm thinking, you know, in this country alone, have started businesses with giving God the glory, ending up to become so selfish and self-centered that we forgot God. We forgot to tithe. We forgot to do that. And you've heard me tell you the stories upon stories, truth of these individuals who started businesses and didn't give God the glory. And they went and prayed to the priest. The priest says, well, you know, I could pray and, you know, ask God to take it all away. No. I'll tithe. I'll give to God. You know, he owns it all. And we're just stewards. When we're set free from ownership, we're also set free from all the things that would entrap us. Envy, jealousy, competition, resentment, fear, anxiety, hoarding, deceit. Because it's all his. If someone steals from me, they're not stealing from me, they're stealing from God. All I got to do is bring it to the king's attention and let the king deal with that person. And let him deal with them as he wishes. God has never designed it for us to have personal ownership. He has designed it so that we would have personal stewardship. Submission and obedience as citizens of his kingdom. That's what he's designed it for. Our kids are not our own. They're lent to us. God's given us the honor to name them, or even in some cases name themselves. Some kids grow up and they give themselves question marks or some sort of symbols. Because I'm talking about Prince and some of those other dudes. But Jesus says this to us in Luke 6:46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I love you, God. I love you. But, you know, I'll continue to live like the gangster life. I love you, God. I love you, man. You know, and I'll fornicate as much as I want. I love you, God. I really love you. And I'll embezzle all the money I can. Because I love you. You and me. Feeling me? How many people? And I saw this at Creation a few years ago. Some of these rap stars up there bragging about their million-dollar contracts that they're making for selling their songs. And today, they're no more. They're no more. Because you know what? They brought dishonor to their king. We're stewards, caretakers of what he's given to us. All of it's going to be returned to him. None of it's going to go with us. As citizens of the kingdom, God wants us to learn how to appropriate his riches for the establishing of his kingdom and utilizing the resources that he has so that we can have life abundantly. Not for our personal hoarding, you know, gathering it to ourselves. And we forget that God's the Lord. He's the one that wants to do it. And we make all excuses about it. When we try to do things in our own strength, we allow fear to enter in. We get worried about the economic conditions of what's going on in the world. We become afraid of the downsizing the businesses have because their greed is taking over. We're worried about all the tension that's in the world between nations and nations. Why are we getting caught up in that? If he's Lord, and we have access to all that he owns, then why are we worried about if we're going to get laid off from a job? Why are we going to worry about starting businesses? Why are we getting caught up in this stuff? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. Our Father is so rich, and yet we live like paupers. And when we blame Him for the circumstances of us being out of His will, we become dissatisfied in life. And when we become dissatisfied in life, the biggest weapon that the enemy sends our way is depression, which is a spirit that we medicate ourselves with, and we allow the spirits of murder and suicide to rule and reign in our lives in such a way that we believe the lies that they're telling us, that it would be far better for us or our family members or whoever to be wiped off the face of this earth. Can you see how taking personal ownership of something that doesn't belong to us, but we have the right to enjoy and take care of as stewards, has even caused our society to become a bunch of whack jobs? Really, you think about it. It used to be random murders were happening. Now today, you know, you can't send your kids to daycare because parents are going in there killing each other. You can't send your kids to college because college kids are getting whacked out and killing everybody in the colleges. You can't get your mail delivered because guys are going postal. And they carry that over to various jobs. Why? See, I ask the questions why, and it's all spirit. It's because people have gotten out of the will of God. They have taken personal ownership, and because when personal failure comes in, they're blaming somebody else instead of looking at themselves. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is great and merciful. Our God is richer than any person that I can name. As much as Donald Trump proclaims to be a billionaire, he is a pauper in comparison to our Father. That's the truth. Why do we acclaim that these individuals who have the wealth of the nations, when we have the wealth of the heavens at our disposal? And yet, we would rather take the trinkets that the world gives to the people and emphasize that they're far more important than the valuable things of the kingdom that God wants so richly to bestow upon His kids. It's because we still think we're owners. We need to remind ourselves just how much God loves us and how generous He is towards us. His reputation is at stake. And His reputation is based upon how well He provides for us. And that provision is mandated by how well we align up to His will. His generosity reflects His will and character. And with us reflecting His generosity to others, only serves to bring Him greater glory and honor. In other words, if I'm in this position holding on to my stuff, I can't give that away to receive more. And what God wants to give to me is far greater value than the things I'm holding on to. And we're paupers. We live like peasants when we're the king's kids. Because we believe the lie of the world, segmenting us and segregating us into these areas that we focus ourselves upon each other instead of looking upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our lives. It's time for us, church, to get the things right. It's time for us to exercise our faith and believe in His Lordship over all. It's time for us to place the burden of provision upon the shoulders of God and really seek Him and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You see, we're not going to tap in to the resources of heaven until we tap into God first. And that means to acknowledge that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Father who wants to provide for us. He owns everything. And I have the right to enjoy everything that He has. And the great story that Jesus taught was about the wayward son, the prodigal. But how many of us look at the prodigal's brother and see that he was angry because he never once took anything of his father's wealth and just enjoyed it? He waited, and in his wait, he became embittered with his life. And what did the father say to him? What I had was yours and all along. What the Father has for us is ours. All we need to do is ask and receive it. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your Word, Lord. Father, Your Word is true. And I pray, Holy Spirit, You cut our hearts in such a way that You challenge the way we think from this point on. That we own nothing. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave this world with nothing. In the meantime, You've created this world for our enjoyment. Whatever it is that You planted in our hearts, the dreams, the visions, the hopes, the cares for a better future, the plans that You have for us, God, I pray this would be a reality to us, God, that we would constantly be like Flint, seeking Your face as to what it is You want us to do, how You want us to do it, when You want us to do it. Not just come up with deceptive ideas that robs You of Your glory, that takes away from Your honor. And we package You as God in the box. Father, I ask that You forgive us, God. That You forgive us in our infantile mentalities, Lord. And help to teach us, Holy Spirit, how to be a son of the King. How to be a daughter of the King. How to enjoy life as an heir to all things. God, we don't have to work for it. You freely dispense it to us. I pray that You bless Your people this day and forevermore, God. That Your church would come into a reality of who You truly are. Not only our Father, but also our husband. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.